Very good. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again. Even if it's a very, very wet, rainy day, just remember your baptism when you go outside and it'll be great. Yikes. But happy Mother's Day, even if it's a little damp. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are here this morning. And let us begin our worship service remembering remembering how amazing it is that we are accepted here in the presence of God, that we who don't deserve to be here, because of His grace, His mercy, and because of the miracle of faith that He gave us in our baptisms, we get to be here this morning. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much that You have given us this day, another day, Lord, that we get to live out the lives that You've given us, that we get to live out the faith that You've given us, Lord, that we get to live in the grace and the gospel, Lord, that You earned for us on the cross, and that we get to look forward to the day that You are going to come again and take us to be with You, Lord, in a way that we can't even imagine. Lord, I pray that You would be here among us today. Bless us, Lord, as we hear Your word and return praise and thanksgiving to You for all that You have done for us. Thank You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to Your infinite mercy, seeking Your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given Your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake, forgive all our sins, and by Your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of You and of Your will, and true obedience to Your word, to the end that by Your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we sing the first hymn together, giving praise to the God who's forgiven us forgiveness.
Deeper than My name is Darwin Krause. I'm the elder for this morning, and it's my pleasure of reading you the scriptures. This morning we read out of John 15, verses 9 through 17. And God is telling us how much he loves us, and he commands us to love each other. And so we'll go ahead and read the scripture. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father would give you. This is my command: love each other." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Darwin. And now it is time for the children's message, and Debbie Armbruster has the children's message for us today.
I do. All right. Good morning. I have a little editorial comment before we get started with our little message. This year has been a rough one on all of us. We would say that. This is the end of Teacher Appreciation Week. I am a teacher. I love being a teacher. I decided I wanted to be a teacher when I was probably in second or third grade. I went to college. I took a lot of classes. I got a master's degree. I love being a teacher. Teaching is fun. There's a lot of joy every day for me. But teaching is hard. And there are a lot of moms out there, and dads, and grandparents, and aunts, and uncles that woke up about a year ago, and somebody just said, "Poof, you're a teacher." And they didn't have all the experiences I had to get to that place. So at the end of Teacher Appreciation Week and on Mother's Day, from us that are teachers, I would just like to say Happy Teacher Appreciation Day to all of you moms and aunts and uncles and dads and grandparents for all that you have done for your kids during the pandemic. It's going to pay off, and we appreciate it. So give yourselves a hand for what you've done. Come on, clap for you. All of you have done something in some way to help these kids. So thank you for that. All right, so Mother's Day, I want to talk today about three things that my mom said to me quite a bit when I was younger. The first one, I would ask my mom for things. And I remember asking her, "Can I just have whipped cream for dinner tonight?" And I asked her, "Can I stay up all night? Can I stop brushing my teeth? I don't like it." And I remember asking, "Can I have a pony?" I think every little girl does that. And Oscar's going to help me. What's one of the things that my mom said to me? No. My mom said no to me a lot. And when I was younger, I think sometimes that aggravated me, made me mad. When I grew up, I understood that my mom was keeping me safe, keeping me healthy, and doing what was best for me when she said that. Another thing I remember my mom saying to me a lot happened when I would do something like this. I wanted to make snowflakes. Everybody likes to make snowflakes. So I'd fold up my paper and I'd make all these cute cuts and I would make all those pretty shapes and sizes. And then I would open it up and I'd say, Mom, look at my pretty snowflake. And it was not right. And it would fall apart. It would be these separate pieces. And my mom would say something like this. Can I help? And she wanted to help me. And sometimes I said yes, and I let Mom help, and it would turn out much, much better. And sometimes, when I had a problem, like I wasn't getting along with my friends, or my boyfriend broke up with me, she would say, can I help? And I would say, no, I'll do it myself. I'll figure it out. I didn't want her help. And that never usually turned out quite as well as when she helped me. And then there was one other thing that I heard all the time. I love you. And my mom didn't just say that. She showed me. And she washed my clothes, and she made my food, and she drove me to all my practices. She gave me hugs and read me stories. So she didn't just tell me she loved me. I knew it because she showed me. Now, my mom has been with Jesus for about 30 years now. But I'm sure that if my mom was still alive here on earth, she would still be saying these same three things to me. And she'd be saying no, and she'd be saying, can I help you? And she'd be saying, I love you. Now, our moms are gifts from God. We know that. And it occurred to me that God says the same things to us. There are things we ask for when we pray. God, if you could just give me $1 million, I'd pay my bills, I'd get everything straightened out, and all be good. And a prayer that we've all prayed for a year, God, if you would just take this pandemic away now. And because God knows what's best for us and we don't understand him and he's smarter and more powerful, for some reason he has said no. And that makes me think that he has work for me to do during this time. And I need to ask him what that work is, because his answer to that specific prayer has been no, not right now. There are other times when I have problems and God constantly says to me, can I help? I want to help. I'd like to help. Can I help? And when I say yes, and I go to his word, and I listen to faithful, godly people in my life that share his word with me, I do much better than when I say, nope, I'll do it myself. It's never been my best plan to do it myself. And he wants to help. And then, just like my mom, all the time, God is saying, I love you. And like my mom, he doesn't just say it, but he showed it. And what he did for us is he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross to forgive our sins. He raised him from the dead, so that we can be in heaven with him forever. And I am absolutely confident that that is where I am going to be when my last day on earth is finished, and I will be with Jesus and my mom forever in heaven. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for taking care of us, for knowing what is best for us and for doing that, for helping us when we have problems, and most of all, Lord, for showing that you love us by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, for mothers who you have given us here on this earth to help us become your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do know how to make snowflakes now. I can make really pretty ones.
It is now time for the children to have a little worship. So if anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade would like to meet at the cross in the center aisle, looks like Lauren and Oscar have a little worship for you guys this morning. And for the rest of us, let us turn to our God's word and hear what he has for us today. The reading for today comes from Acts. Now, we've been doing Old Testament lessons, but for whatever reason, in the middle of the Old Testament lesson, series, they jump to Acts. And I think it's kind of an important thing to do, actually. And so we're going to talk, and you'll understand that in a little bit. But it's Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 48. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water, for they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Moms know that they can't have favorites, right? At least you know that that's not the way it's supposed to go. And I know this family who I love them dearly, and they actually have a joke between the brothers. They're all brothers, and you know how brothers can be. And between the brothers, they have this running joke that each one of them is mom's favorite, you know? And they constantly are, you know, saying, yeah, well, you know, if only you were mom's favorite, you know, that kind of a thing. And they just go back and forth with this all the time. Thing is that in the scriptures, you don't expect God to have favorites. But for the longest time, it kind of seemed like God did. You know, God chose Abraham, right? Now, Abraham was one guy out of how many hundreds of thousands or even millions that were on the earth at the time. Abraham was just one guy. And the question is, I mean, we've talked about this in theology classes and such, and we say, why did God choose Abraham? And was it because of something about Abraham? Was it because he was more righteous, more holy, more godly, more whatever than the people around him? And the answer that we always end up coming back to is, well, God chose Abraham, here's the word, by grace. Which means that it has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with God. God selected Abraham from all the people on earth, and he came to Abraham and he said, The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, from your people, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And Abraham was chosen as God's person. And then from Abraham, of course, we know the story of Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob had his 12 sons who then ended up in Egypt because Joseph, one of the 12, was protecting the rest of the family and providing for him during a famine. But somehow during that time in Egypt, while the children of Israel lived in the land of Goshen, this really fertile, beautiful land that Joseph made available to them, they were enslaved. And they spent all this time in Egypt, much of it in slavery, but the people of God were blessed, and they grew in numbers. Now, they weren't a nation. They were an ethnicity living in a foreign country, an oppressed ethnicity living in a foreign country, but they were growing in numbers, and God blessed them and made them strong. And then God sent Moses to free the children of Israel from Egypt and to bring them out into the wilderness to the bottom of Mount Sinai, where God gave them his law, and he made the deal with him, the covenant with them, and he said, I will be your God, you will be my people. And these people became the people of God, the chosen nation, the people that God selected from all of people on earth to be his own. God's special people. And then God continued to bless those people. He made them a real nation when they moved into the promised land. Joshua's leadership and God's provision in battle, they were able to take the promised land and to have this nation that God had promised to Abraham. This land, this promised land, became theirs, and they were able to live there, and they became a true nation with property and everything. And it wasn't long, and then they wanted a king because all the nations around them had kings, and so God gave them a king. And the first king didn't work out so good, but the second king was amazing. It was David, and David was this king that it's actually said David was had a heart after God's own heart. I mean, he was that godly man who he messed up. He did some really bad things, but he also did a lot of really good things, and he was a good leader for the people. And God blessed Israel under David. And David was a warrior. I mean, he actually made Israel not just a nation, but a great nation. A nation that had power in the region. A nation that the nations around Israel paid them tribute, owed them allegiance. Actually, they were extremely powerful and very, very wealthy during this time. But I want you to listen to what David had to say about God in Psalm 22. He said, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him. All you descendants of Israel, he is not despised or scorned. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Who does David turn to when he's got bad days? Who does David turn to for strength as he goes about the work that God gave him as the leader of God's chosen people? He turns to God. And God is the one who blessed him and gave him success. And then we go on, and then God sends prophets. Whenever the children of Israel begin to wander away from God, he sends them prophets to preach to them the law of God and the redemption of God, that to help them to be redirected and to shed all these things that are causing them to fall away from God. like, you know, worshiping other gods. And Isaiah was one of those prophets. And in chapter 49 of Isaiah, God constantly is telling Israel how the relationship with them works. And he says this, he says, "In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you a covenant for the people to restore the land, to reassign its desolate inheritances, and to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will be free from, they will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat nor the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all of my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, from the north and from the west and from regions. Shout for joy to the Lord, you heavens, rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." So again, what is this relationship that God wants to have with his people? These chosen, special people that he has, is that he would be their God. He will provide and protect. He will love and cherish, and he will restore them when they fall. And he will continue to do this. And the thing is this, is that the children of Israel learned this lesson. They were the holy ones of God. They were the ones that God chose in Abraham. They were the ones that God made a covenant with in Moses. They were the one that God blessed in David. They were the one that God informed through the prophets. They were the ones who were the people of God, the people who had this long-term relationship with God, which is exactly why Peter was having so much trouble in today's text. Because Peter was one of these people of God. And God had just done something amazing. Through God's people, he had sent Jesus into the world. It was through one of Abraham's descendants, one of David's descendants, that Jesus was born. And this Son of God who was born as a man in this world, this amazing miracle of God entering creation happened in this little town. And as we say, it says in the text today, starting at verse 37, it says, "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of" where? "Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around" where? "Israel, doing good and healing those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Who is the witnesses of everything that God that Jesus did? The Jewish people, right? The disciples, those who were chosen by God from the nation of Israel, they were the witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross. Who did? The Jewish people, right? That's right. So it happened among the Jews. The Jews actually were part of this whole thing of salvation. But God raised him from the dead on the third day. He was not seen by all the people, but who did see him? His disciples, Jewish people, saw him. Witnesses who were chosen from before. All of this happened in God's people, among God's people, among this holy nation. And the question that I have for you today is, well, then what good does this do us? Because if this message was given to us through Abraham, through the chosen people, through the nation of Israel, through the Jewish people, through the ones who Jesus was born to, the ones who received the revelation of God throughout the Old Testament, then what good does this do us? Was this ever intended to cover us as well? And the answer is, yeah, it really was. In the same chapter that I read to you earlier out of Genesis, where God said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." And here's the next words. "And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Were you in God's mind at the very beginning when Abraham was chosen? Well, it depends. Are you part of all the nations on earth? And it goes on. It's not like he just dropped it there, but he says the same thing in Psalm 22, the same psalm that I just read to you earlier about David, how he depended on God, how God was his leader. God was the one that got him through all these difficult situations, these battles, all the political intrigues, all this stuff. And he says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So even when David was walking around, he knew that this was going to be something bigger than just for God's chosen people at the day, but it's also for us as well. And he says the same thing in Isaiah, the same chapter that I read to you earlier. It says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So even in the days of the prophets, we knew already that that this whole story was playing out so that all people could know him. And guys, listen, this was a major shift for the early church. I mean, in the early church, this whole Jesus thing happened in this little land of Israel, and it was a very local event. You know, it was Jesus traveled all over Israel at the time, but it was not very far to go. You know, between Galilee to the north and Judah to the south, it was just there wasn't a lot of property there. There wasn't a lot of land, but. But what was happening in that place was the working out of a plan that God had to redeem everybody. And I love this. You know, so often I really think that a lot of times we don't understand how amazing it is that we are able to say that we are God's people. In addition to us not being worthy, even the Jewish people weren't worthy, even Abraham wasn't worthy to be chosen, but he had been chosen. And the people of God had this special relationship with God, but we as Gentiles don't have that connection. Except that God chose us. And here's what it says. I love this. In Hosea chapter 2, Hosea, he's the prophet that God ordered to go marry a prostitute to be as a symbol and image of what it's like for God to have his wife Israel constantly wandering away from him and worshiping other gods. And so this is so God at the very end of in the middle of Hosea actually is telling is basically showing how he is the good husband even though his wife is not being faithful. And he says, "Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I will give her back her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the days that she came out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me husband and no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of Baals from her lips." And then here, this is just a few verses later. "I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one whom I have called, not my loved one. And say to those called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God." And folks, the beautiful thing is that this is us. That our God has chosen us. That just as Abraham was chosen by grace, not because he was something special, but because God chose him because he loved him, God has chosen us. And through this amazing gift of baptism and through the faith that we receive from him through baptism, through his word, and the nourishment and the strength that we continue to receive through the gift of his of Holy Communion, guys, we belong to him. We are his people. And it is such an amazing thing that that is true. The God of creation, the one who has made everything, has made us his own. And because we are his, we have promises. The promise that he will be with us always. Our forgiveness is certain. Our eternity is secure. It is an amazing thing to be the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you and we just thank you for this incredible gift worked out by you over thousands of years so that we could become your people. That we who were not your people have now become your people because you have spoken it over us and made us your own. You have borne our sins. You've carried our shame. You've given us your perfection and made us worthy of eternal life. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Now continue our worship service by singing the song of praise.
Let us now stand
as we confess our faith with using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, as we turn to our Father in heaven in prayer, we want to keep a few things in mind. First of all, we want to be praying for Wayne Young at the death of his wife, Carol. She passed away on Friday. We want to be praying for moms. And also, we want to be praying for our Lutherans for Life chapter. Oh, we can't forget about the Lutherans for Life chapter, who's making a collection between Mother's Day and Father's Day for one of the crisis pregnancy centers. Information is in your announcements. And then we also, of course, want to pray for our teachers and thank God for them on this, the last day of the Teacher Appreciation Week. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have made us your people and brought us into this church, this place where we are able to hear from you, Lord, in your word, and that we are able to return praise and thanksgiving as we mutually encourage one another and work together as we do the work that you have put out in front of us, Lord, this work that that you need done. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us. Lord, I pray that you would especially be with Wayne Young this as he is grieving, both grieving the death of his wife, Carol, Lord, but also rejoicing in knowing that she is with you in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would be with him and his daughter, Joy, that you would give them peace, that you would help them, Lord, with that you would give them strength, that you would be their comfort, Lord, during this difficult time. Lord, I pray that you would, we thank you for the moms of our congregation, these wonderful people that you have given to us and to their children, Lord, to raise their children and to sacrifice for them, Lord, and to pass the faith on to them. I pray that you would continue to bless them with wisdom and with strength and endurance and all the things that they need, Lord, to be the women that you need them to be in the lives of their children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless them and bless their children with a deep and rich faith, rewarding them for their efforts. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our teachers as they also invest themselves in the lives of children. Lord, this has been a very difficult year, and we pray extra energy and perseverance, Lord, and endurance upon the teachers as they finish out this year. Help them, Lord, to continue and finish, Lord, what they have started as they continue to love the children that you have put in their care. And Lord, I pray that you would also be with every single person in our church, Lord, all those who are struggling, suffering, undergoing difficulties of so many kinds, Lord. You are our rock, our fortress, our strength in troubled times. Just as we heard David say, Lord, we cling to you in during the difficult times because you are the only one who is strong enough to support us and to hold us up. Lord, I pray that you would gift us that faith so that we may have peace no matter what. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we want to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
The promise, your buried body.
Having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the strength and forgiveness that he promises to give us, and thus he does give us in this gift, depart in his peace and receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. And let us sing the final song together. And folks, this is an amazing thing. Because he lives, we live. Because he lives, death is defeated. Because he lives, our eternity is certain. And so let us give praise to the God who lives. Once again, happy Mother's Day, and our Lutherans for Life chapter has, what is it? Oh, there's a flower in the back for you someplace. Did moms get those yet? Okay, you're taking care of it? Outstanding. So moms, what's that? All the ladies. Okay, very good. That's great. Thanks. And then what else is there? There was two other things I was supposed to say. Oh, yeah. If anybody wishes to have individual prayer after the service, Darwin is in the prayer chapel ready to pray with you. And don't forget about the Lutherans for Life collection. There's a crib in the back where you can drop off your items, and the details for that collection are in the announcements. All right? God's blessings on your week. I'll see you in the back.